agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
From the Land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 28th day of January 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vakes. She's at Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. The folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility near Logansport, Indiana, will join us to look at the cash grain market. We'll talk about the weather, too. That with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And I'll tell you all about our upcoming Evening Will Ag events, one tonight in LaSalle, one tomorrow. This is a daytime event in Sycamore. Next week we'll be in Peoria at the Pork Expo, and we'll also be in Joliet next week. And that's on Saturday, not this weekend, but the following one at the Chicago Farmers Farmland Forum. Should be a great couple of weeks, and I hope you can make one of our events. You can find all those details on our website at willag.org. Or just keep listening to the Closing Market Report right here on this Wednesday afternoon.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, let's check now the numbers as they finished up in Chicago. For Wednesday afternoon, the contract in the corn at 373.25 for the lead option March was down 8 cents. May, 381.5, 8.25 lower. July at 389, a settlement price down 8. And December corn at $4.04, down 7. Next year's March down 7 at $4.12¾. March beans at $9.70¼, 3.5 lower. May at $9.77¼, down 4. July, $9.83, down 4 cents. November beans at $9.58¼. That's the new crop, down 4¼, rather 4½. In January, down 4 cents at $9.64¼. Bean meal at $3.37, 80 cents higher. Bean oil at $30.34, down 83 cents. Soft red winter wheat finished the March at $5.05¼, 13¾ lower. July, the harvest month at $5.16, down 12¾. And the hard red in the March lead option down 14½ cents at $5.35¾. CME Group live cattle futures at $153.95 were $1.12½ higher. April futures were up 50 cents at $151.50. January feeder cattle at $1.67½ higher, $2.12.45 the final, and the March at $204.35, 52½ cents higher. February lean hogs for the day $71.52½, up $2.10. The April $2.90 higher at $74.95. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures trading the March at $44.47. That's down $1.76. The RBOB, or wholesale price of gasoline, $1.34 and a half. That's 0.4 of a cent lower for the day. And ethanol futures at $1.37 and 0.8, up 4 cents on the day. Natural gas at $2.86 and 0.6, 11½ lower. And the diesel fuel at $1.62 and 0.9, 3¾ lower. Gold futures at $1,258.90, down $5.80. And the dollar at 94.47 is up 0.448 on the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Mostly sunny skies, a high of 39 degrees. A south-southeast wind at about 16 miles an hour today, gusting as high as 26. Tonight, a 20% chance of rainfall after midnight. Mostly cloudy, a low of 34. It'll be breezy and a south wind at 14 to 21. And then tomorrow, a 30% chance of rain before noon, cloudy, a high of 39. Thursday night, cloudy, gradually becoming partly cloudy, and a low of 21. Friday, sunny with a high of 29. Winds on Friday out of the northwest at 5 to 10. And Friday night, partly cloudy, a low of 18. Saturday, sunny and 35. Sunday, snow, likely cloudy and 33. Monday, partly sunny and just 17 degrees. And on Tuesday, mostly cloudy with a high near 19. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City right here on Illinois Public Media. It is a Wednesday afternoon. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Find us online at WILLAG.org. Let's take a look at the marketplace today with our regular Wednesday afternoon analyst, Jackie Vick. She's at Stuart Peterson right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Jackie. Thanks for being with us.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
What did you see in the marketplace for the day that you thought was most important and that producers should be considering at this time?
Well, I think that there's no denying, you know, that we saw tremendous weakness in the corn and in the wheat market, and beans actually performed quite well. Some of that can be attributed to strong fund selling, you know, and the funds have been the people who have really supported this market. And when I looked at the settlements on March corn, 373 and a quarter actually is below the 100-day moving average. The last time we closed below the 100-day moving average was on October 28th of 2014, and it is actually below the 50% retracement of the move that we saw up from the September 29th, the week of September 29th lows to the week of December 29th highs. And so that is definitely something that a person has to be very concerned about. And if we don't come back out and close above it again in the next few days, the trend would certainly say it's probably going lower. Now, when you look at the beans, also not a great situation. We had a close that basically is similar to what we had last October. And so the next objective on beans would be somewhere in the 950 level, and on wheat, 495. These are all the March contracts, Todd. But, you know, concerning when you're seeing the funds actually coming in here and selling. And, you know, how can you not expect it to be that way in some respects? The first beans were loaded out of the Port of Paranaguá for 2015 for Brazil this week. They're expecting by the end of the month, which we know is only a few days away, they'll have loaded out 27 vessels, 1 million tons of corn, grain, beans, meal, and wheat. And they're actually upgrading. Jeff and I were to the Port of Paranaguá in 2006, and we were surprised at how slow their loaders were. They're putting in two new ship loaders in February. They said that'll increase the capacity on each one to 2,000 tons per hour. That's 30% more than current loaders. So it should help them with some of the backup that they've seen so much. You know, just to put it in perspective, how much beans and bean products really mean to that port, just in Paranaguá last year, they shipped $3.8 billion U.S. dollars worth of grain, of beans and bean products. I shouldn't say grain, because it's a great deal more than that. So I think as producers here, you have to stay keenly tied to what's going on there, to what the U.S. dollar's doing, to what the European Union's doing, and what our ethanol numbers are doing.
Staying with beans for just a moment, we know that the weather conditions in South America, particularly in Brazil, weren't the best to start out with. They were a little dry. They had another dry period in the process. But as of late, things have turned around. They have a very large or very wide long planting season. So I suspect they have some good beans, some okay beans, but they're going to have a big crop one way or the other. Can you take me through what their crop might look like?
Well, I think that we lost some of the crop on the early bean crop, you know, on the very earliest planted bean crop, and that's primarily due to the dryness that happened during potting. When you look at the medium range and the long range, those guys are rated somewhere at the 5 to 6 on out of 10. So they're not phenomenal, but they haven't dropped, even though it's been drier than normal. So the reality, Todd, is when you look at the crop down there, okay, so I talked with Dr. Cornier this week, and he said he's going to drop his about 500,000 metric tons. So he's going down to like 93.5 million metric tons. Well, last year they produced 86.7 million metric tons. So no matter what happens here, we have a record crop coming out of Brazil. Now, farmer selling has still been very slow in Mato Grosso. They're 45% sold compared to 55% last year. They did pick some up. You know, one of the concerning things down there, of course, is from a political standpoint. There's a key waterway in Sao Paulo that's been closed since May, and they were hoping that they were going to be able to reopen it by diverting some water from some of the other reservoirs, but there just wasn't a lot of rainfall in July, and so those hydroelectric reservoirs are extremely low. And if you've ever been to Brazil, you recognize that the electricity doesn't come down to the farmer. It goes across the farmer into the big cities. And so it's so critical in Sao Paulo right now that it could cause water rationing for drinking water. And so it really points out I really don't believe these guys are going to give up hydroelectric reserves to be able to run that waterway. So that dramatically raises the cost of transportation of beans. And so, you know, on one side, they've been sitting on beans. Maybe they'll sit on more beans. Maybe it'll help us. But, you know, you really don't know.
Yeah, so can I take you back up to the farmer selling for just a moment? You mentioned that in Mato Grosso they were about 45% sold compared to 55% last year.
Right.
Do you know that is that because they have a whole lot more beans and now they're 45% sold instead of being 55% sold like they thought? Or are they really truly lagging behind? Because one would say, man, there's a if they're 45% sold of what their X, let's see, if they're 45% sold, we'd have not as many beans left to sell, relatively speaking, as if they were 45% sold of their expectations, right?
Right. Yeah, there's no question about that. If they were 45% sold on the larger crop, then, you know, they've sold more beans, basically, is
right.
What they've done.
That's what I was driving at. Do we know the answer to that question?
Well, remember, we're only talking about Mato Grosso. Now, if you look across the whole rest of the country, they're way behind on sales. And Mato Grosso definitely is a large increase area. So I would venture to say in bushels, they may be more sold than they were last year. But even at that, I think it's still a good example of how they hold back, you know, when they think that they can get a higher price or when they want a higher price. And, you know, there's really a lot of reason to hold back when you're in Brazil or you're in Argentina, because they get paid based on U.S. dollars, and look what the dollar's done. I mean, we were up at 95.80 just, I think, a day before yesterday. That really encourages them to hold beans because they are getting a higher price. Even if we're losing some price here on the board, they get paid in their local currency, and so they're pretty sharp guys down there. You know, they've penciled a lot of that stuff to see once where they need to get out of position. So, you know, it's another thing is, you know, when it comes to 15 beans, you know, it's pretty well held that they have to have a $10 break even on U.S., and we're well below that, too. So I think that they're just sitting back. Maybe they're hoping for bad weather in the U.S., kind of like the U.S. farmer hopes for bad weather in South America. I don't know. But they have not been aggressive sellers, and I think it probably has to do with the, you know, with the fact that they are maybe producing more, and the U.S. dollar not giving them any incentive to want to sell.
Hey, I heard you talking with Dave Dickey this morning on the mid-morning market report, and mentioned, and I have not seen this story, that EPA ruled Argentina's soy oil imports are eligible to be used with RINs. So I'm
yes.
Is that soy oil or is that oil pressed from soybeans that were imported from the United States?
I believe everything that I've seen on it is it's on soy oil that's been imported from Argentina.
And it can be counted as a RIN.
For a RIN, yes. I'm waiting to read the entire breakdown because I don't understand.
Yeah, well, this would be an interest. Usually we think of RINs for ethanol and corn. I'll have to check with Scott Irwin, and we'll try to work through that process. I heard you say that this morning, and I thought, well, how did that happen? And it'll be interesting, so we'll talk more about that as we learn more.
Yep.
Political issues often take on lives of their own, and certainly Argentina is one of those places that happens many times, I think.
Yeah, it's really the truth. You know, we've talked over the last number of weeks how much pressure President Kirchner's been putting on the farmer to sell to sell their beans, to the point of preventing them from getting any credit, closing their banking accounts, blah blah blah. Well, this week she's not paying much attention to the farmers because her focus changed when there's a big crisis going on there. A special prosecutor was killed the day before he was supposed to testify at Congress about some government interference into an investigation decades ago of an attack on a Jewish situation, and suddenly the whole focus is gone, and it's over on that side. For right now, I think the Argentinian farmer is probably breathing a little bit of a sigh of relief. Kirchner cannot run again this time, so she really doesn't care much, you know, about the political side of that. I'm sure she cares more about whether she's going to go to jail, and so it'll be interesting to see how long it takes before she shifts her vision back. But I think it's a stark example of how politics work down there. you know, and maybe a lot of other places. But it's interesting. Dr. Cornier actually reduced, you know, the Brazilian crop by 500,000 metric tons, but he increased the Argentinian crop by 1 million metric tons.
And they have had a good crop year so far.
Oh, they've had a fantastic crop year. Their weather has just been almost ideal, you know, and so interesting as we move forward there, you know, there's two things that I'm really watching. One is the EU and what's going to happen with the Greek situation, you know, because they're fighting over the debt. The anti-austerity people were elected on Sunday, and they're talking, too, about extending the Russian sanctions all the way till September 15, which would be very painful to Russia. And then the West Coast, where we've got dock workers that have been on strike and shipping firms, and they finally look like they might get to a point where they're going to settle this thing, and that would be great because, you know, they've held up shipping our meat into the export market out down there, and so maybe we'll get some stabilization in the livestock market. But did you see the ethanol report today?
I did not.
Oh, production was down by 0.1% over last week, but it's still up 8.67% over last year. However, stocks were up 1.2% over last week and 21.85% over last year. You know, this lower crude price is killing us, is basically what's happening. And, you know, there's a lot of pundits out there now who are in the crude business, basically, who are talking that they do believe that we're going to go to $40. You know, for a long time it was 65, and then it was 60, and then it was 50, and now it's 45, and now we're going to go to 40. And, you know, if you look back in 2009, we went all the way down to $32. I'm not saying that that's necessarily what's going to happen this time, but there are people saying that they think we could see this carry on for a long period of time within this 40 to 50 range, somewhere in that neighborhood. And as long as that continues, it's going to put some real pressure on frackers, you know, on the employment situation. And we know that the, you know, those wells are coming on out in the Gulf. So what are you going to do? I mean, if you have debt, you're going to produce, right, to at least pay your debt. And so it's going to be quite an interesting ride to see how this all comes about. One thing I forgot to say is export sales. USDA is saying that they're going to be out tomorrow, even though we had a holiday this week. I don't know what happened.
Oh, wow. They're working fast.
Maybe a snowstorm on the East Coast helps. I don't know.
they got stuck in the office, apparently.
Could be. I really don't know, but that's what they're saying. So, you know, the expectation is that we're going to see decent wheat and corn exports and probably pretty poor bean exports. And, you know, that would be no surprise. One of the things that I was thinking about, and you and I have not talked about before, is just that if you look at the situation, like on corn last week, we saw a lot of unknown sales shifted to other countries. And we pretty much hold that unknown as China. And when you think about China's currency and how it doesn't float like other currencies, and how they have had very little impact. The U.S. dollar going up has had very little impact on what it costs them to buy something. They are now turning around, and they bought it at this higher price, but yet this higher price is still a cheaper price to other countries in contrast to what they would have to pay, you know, us to be able to buy it. And now they're shifting there and buying cheaper from us. Mm. You know, they all say that the Chinese are some of the best when it comes to figuring out how to make money. And, boy, I think that this could have a dramatic impact over the long haul in terms of what's going on. And on beans, you know, they're canceling expensive shipments and buying them back as cheaper shipments. So very, very, very involved.
Lots to talk about. Hey, I'm looking forward to going to LaSalle tonight with you and then, of course, beaning the Kalb. Pick you up in about an hour. How about that?
Sounds like a deal.
All right. Thanks so much. That, of course, is Jackie Vake. She's with Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Right now, why don't you turn your attention to our website at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org. There you'll find a whole series of events starting tonight in LaSalle at Seneca's Oak Ridge Golf Club, where we'll host one of our WILAG panels. It's just the beginning of the process for our winter meeting season. Tonight, we'll have Bill Mayer, Jackie Vakes, Wayne Nelson, and Kevin Van Trump with us starting at 6:30. This meeting is sponsored by Strategic Strategic Farm Marketing, and that means you may or may not have received an email or possibly a postcard from them. It is open to everyone, so don't worry about that. Come to Seneca's Oak Ridge Golf Club. That's on East U.S. Highway 6, just to the east of Interstate 39 there in LaSalle. At 6:30 tonight, again, Bill Mayer, Jackie Vakes, Wayne Nelson, and special guest Kevin Van Trump at Farm Direction from Raymore, Missouri, will join us. The folks at Strategic Farm Marketing will take you through the Farm Bill and a little bit about crop insurance and changes that are coming to that program. And then on Thursday, I will not be in this seat, but Dave Dickey will be here because I'll be in Sycamore at the Center for Agriculture. That's the Illinois Farm Bureau building there on Peace Road in DeKalb County. Starting in the 1 o'clock hour, Gary Schnitke will take up the Farm Bill decision. He's the University of Illinois ag economist that helps to look at that and make decisions about ARC and PLC. I'll follow that up with Wayne Nelson, Joe Vaklovic, and Jackie Vakes with a discussion of the marketplace. We'll take a little break. We'll come back, and then Dan Bossi, who you heard on our Commodity Week program over the weekend, will be there to take up the marketplace again. He'll discuss the changed U.S. agricultural landscape. This one's sponsored by Castle Bank. Their folks will be up in front, too, talking about the economy. I've been to the event several times. It's really good. If you've not been, please do try to make your way to Sycamore at 1 o'clock at the DeKalb County Farm Bureau building. It's open and free to all. I know the folks at Castle Bank would be glad to have you. I'd be glad to see you there or in LaSalle or the following week in Peoria at the Pork Expo or in Springfield at the Northfield Inn and Suites or in Joliet at the Weitendorf Agricultural Education Center. That's at the Joliet Junior College. You can find details on those on our website. It's all at willag.org. Look in the calendar section. There's a menu item over on the right-hand side of the page. If you're on a smartphone, just keep scrolling down, and you'll find that same menu item. On this Wednesday afternoon, let's turn our attention to the cash grain market. Pete Peterson is on the phone line from the Climbers facility near Logansport, Indiana, that belongs to the Andersons. Thanks, Pete, for taking the time with us. Last week you told me that you were getting some trucks in, but they were kind of scheduled. Did you find any new sales of corn to feed the ethanol plant?
Actually, we did this week. A little bit of a base improvement helped to stimulate a little bit of sales, whether it be a basis or a little flat price. But, you know, it's a little bit moving, but maybe not as much as it should at this point in time. Seems like the farmer's selling just a little bit, a little bit of hope still out there.
So they're dragging their feet, but
correct.
Should they be is the question.
After today's a little bit of a sell-off here at the close, looks like hindsight's always the best thought, I guess.
And so you had a basis that was strengthening. Is it going to remain strong for the week?
I think it will until the producers start to basically on a regular basis to get some more sales out there and stuff starts to move. Right now we've got a lot of ifs, ands, or buts in the marketplace, especially with the crude market and the ethanol market on the downward spiral.
And what are your bids for the day?
Let's see. Our cash bids, $3.67 on nearby corn, and beans in our Delphi plant, we're going to be at $9.65.
Hey, thanks so much, Pete.
You bet. Bye.
Pete Peterson, of course, is with the Andersons Climbers facility located near Logansport, Indiana. Joins us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. Stay with us. We'll be back in just 2 minutes. Talk to the forecaster, Drew Lerner, at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City about weather here and in Argentina.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC, providing nationwide land auctions, farmland sales and management, and financial advice for agribusiness. Information on upcoming land auctions and offerings can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
This is Illinois Public Media.
It's National Blueberry Pancake Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1855, William S. Burroughs was born, an American inventor. Burroughs invented and manufactured the first adding machine with a printer. Also in 1885, the first locomotive ran from the Atlantic Ocean to the Pacific on the Panama Railway. In 1945, Swedish ships brought food to starving Netherlands. In 1981, U.S. President Ronald Reagan lifted remaining domestic petroleum price and allocation controls in the U.S., helping to end the 1979 energy crisis and begin the 1980s oil glut. And in 1985, 45 of the world's top recording artists were invited to an all-night recording session at the A&M Studios in Los Angeles. As each of the artists walked through the studio door, they were greeted by a hand-lettered sign put there by Lionel Richie. It simply said, "Check your ego" at the door. The session started at 10 p.m., with producer Quincy Jones conducting. At 8 o'clock the following morning, the project U.S. for Africa was recorded and mixed. The resulting song, We Are the World, featuring Michael Jackson, Cyndi Lauper, Kenny Rogers, Dolly Parton, Sting, Harry Belafonte, Diane Ross, Paul Simon, and many others, became the top song in the U.S. on April 13th of that very same year. The All-Star Charity event was created to raise money for U.S. for Africa, a nonprofit organization benefiting starving residents of Ethiopia. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support comes from AgriGold. Celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
This is the closing market report from Illinois Public Media. Drew Lerner is here on this Wednesday to take a look at the weather forecast. Let's start, Drew, with the nation.
Most of the U.S. Midwest is expected to see rather quiet conditions yet today and probably tomorrow, but there will be a snow event that will come across the region as we move into the weekend. Looks like mostly a Saturday and Sunday event. We should see widespread snow and some rain occurring across parts of the Midwest. The snow is going to occur from northern Missouri and parts of Nebraska and Iowa to the Great Lakes region. We could see anywhere from 1 to 6 inches of snowfall across parts of this region. This is a storm system that's still evolving, and we'll need to continue to monitor it. It could be a stronger event. It could also be a little bit weaker. So the next day or two will certainly determine much about that. The one thing that is for sure, this storm system has a high potential of being very strong again and impacting parts of northeastern United States Sunday into Monday. If that verifies, there will be more incredible amounts of snow across parts of those regions, as well as some potential for flooding in coastal areas, because it looks like there'll be some warm air that will hit those regions just before the cold arrives. And that warmth will likely melt some of the heavy snow that's already piled up across some of that region. And then, of course, adding rainfall on top of that will cause some significant flooding to take place. In the meantime, the same storm system that I've mentioned for the Midwest and for the parts of the plains will benefit some of the winter wheat country. Hard red winter wheat areas will get cooler as we get into the early to middle part of next week. We may get temperatures down to positive negative single digits in Nebraska, but everybody else will likely see mostly teens and 20s. And that will not be cold enough to cause any significant threat of crop damaging conditions. The northern U.S. plains will continue to be very dry, and that will be ongoing, taking us right on into spring. Keep an eye on that region. That area plus the southern Canadian prairies will likely have a dryness bias.
Now turn your attention to South America, please.
Brazil and Argentina continue to see mostly favorable conditions. I think the majority of those areas are going to see enough favorable weather over the next 2 weeks that any dry pocket that's out there will likely be at least temporarily relieved of that dryness. But I do think there will be portions of Argentina that will be dry enough that we'll see some new pockets of dryness evolve eventually, and that will be closely monitored, but I don't think it's going to fester into a big problem. Temperature's been very warm in Argentina this week. We'll look for the temperatures to cool off next week, and until we do see a cooling trend, there's going to continue to be some quick drying take place. The areas that have dried out most significantly recently have been in the southwest and some of the northwestern portions of the country. But just last night, there was some significant precipitation that fell across those areas and eased up on some of that dryness, at least in Santiago del Estero and northern Cordoba. Relief in the southwest part of Argentina occurred last weekend. And the temperatures will be cooler next week, as I mentioned before. That will help to conserve some of the moisture that's going to be in the ground as a result of this storm system that's going to affect the region over the next 2 days.
That's Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City, and I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.